Job 29 verse 1 to 31 verse 40. Now, I acknowledge that this is an enormous passage to be taken in a short discourse, but this is the conclusion to Job's final discourse, his response. Chapter 29, verse 1, Job continued his discourse. In the previous two chapters, I tried to speak upon Job's opening of this discourse. He continues. What do we have here? Well, very, very briefly, just an overview. There's much, much more here than I'm going to bring out. But you can see in chapter 29 that Job looks back, and he looks back upon his life, and he remembers the days when the sun was shining for him. The lamp shone upon my head, God's lamp. God's light shone through my life. I walked in that light, he said. I was in my prime, and oh, I long for those days, verse 4. God's intimate friendship blessed my house. The Almighty was still with me. I felt his blessing. My children were still with me. Now they're dead. I don't seem to have my God anymore. I'm alone. I'm cast down. I have nothing. My path was drenched with cream, and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. And of course, he was a man who was popular, important. I went to the gate of the city. I took my seat in the public square. Young men stepped aside when they saw me. There was respect for me. The old men got up off their feet, yes. And when I spoke, they listened. My words had authority. Whoever heard me spoke well of me. I was a man of clout and responsibility, a man of authority in the village, in the town, wherever it was. But I was a kind man, too. He looks back upon these days when the poor blessed him because the poor cried out and Job put his hand in his pocket. The dying man blessed me, the widow, the blind man, the lame man. He's not bragging or boasting, I'm sure. He's just looking back when he had authority, power, he was useful, he was doing things. He stood for right, too. I broke the fangs of the wicked and snatched the victims from their teeth. And he said, I look back upon those days, and then I remember how I used to think. Well, I'll die an old man in my house, verse 18. I'll be an old man, days as numerous as the grains of sand. Yes, I'll be old with respect, people around me. I'll be prosperous. My glory will be strong. I'll be fit. Men will listen to me expectantly. And when I finish speaking, well, that's the end of it. My counsel is so clear. There's nothing more to say. I was used of God to be like showers upon dry land. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. I chose the way for them. I was like a king among his troops. He's looking back upon his prime, his power, his youth, his strength, his maturity. And he was a great and good and godly and useful man. But now, chapter 30, verse 1. But now, what a but now. There's a glorious but now in the New Testament. The coming of the New Covenant. But now. You get it in Romans very much. And elsewhere too. But here's another but now. But now they mock me. Men younger than I. Their fathers, they were vagabonds. They were ragamuffins. They were nobodies. And I would have scorned to give them a job. They were nothing and nobodies. They were outcasts. But now their sons. Verse 9 of chapter 30. They sing about me. They joke about me. They mock me. They stand aloof from me. They keep their distance from me. They even spit in my face. Because God has unstrung my bow, he's afflicted me. And because of that, they throw off restraint. They attack me. They lay snares for me. Terrors overwhelm me. They come down upon me, and they break into my life. And I have no safety. And now I'm dying. Verse 16, my life ebbs away. Days of suffering grip me. Night pierces my bones. My gnawing pains never rest. And God has wrapped me around, and he's cast me down into the mud and into the dust and ashes. And I'm nothing. I've come down to nothing. And I cry to God, verse 20, and he doesn't listen to me. He turns on me. He doesn't answer my prayers. He tosses me about. He throws me down. I'm a broken man. And yet I have wept for those in trouble. I have cared for those in need. My soul has been grieved for the poor. Yet now, what do I find? My churning inside never stops. I'm worried, I'm blackened, I'm depressed, I'm down, I'm rejected, I'm laughed at, I'm mocked, I'm scorned. I used to sing, but now all I can sing is mourning songs. My body is burning with fever. My flute plays only wailing tunes. And yet in chapter 31 he says, what have I done to merit this? I haven't been lustful. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I've not committed adultery. I've not ruined anybody. I don't bring down people. I've not harmed people. He trusts in God still. He knows that God ruins those who are wicked. In the end, he knows it. He's taking the same line as his comforters here. But he says, I've not done this, so why is God doing this to me? He can't understand it. I haven't lied. I'm blameless. He's not a sinless man, but he can't think of what he's done to bring this judgment upon him. But of course, it's not a judgment, and he hasn't sinned to bring it. It's because he's a godly man, but he doesn't know that. And he's crying out in his innocence. I haven't been enticed in adultery. I haven't denied justice to my servants. I haven't harmed the poor. I haven't robbed the poor. I haven't hindered the poor. I've helped them. I haven't put my trust in money and possessions and gold. I haven't worshipped the planets, the stars, the sun. I'm not becoming an astrologer or horoscopes, none of that nonsense. Devilish nonsense, no. I haven't gloated over my enemies either. I haven't let the poor and the needy lie in the street all night. I've looked after them. And now he's crying out, oh, that God would hear me. Somebody would listen to me. And yet, nobody listens. If I've done harm, then I know that I merit any pain that I get, and I'm willing for it. But I don't understand. The words of Job are ended. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, here is a warning. Job can look back upon a time when he was doing well. He had good health. He was fit, strong, useful, prosperous. But night comes, my friend. It's not always sunshine. Dark days are coming. Death is on the road. I appeal to you listening to me who are young and fit and strong and wealthy and prosperous, and prospects are before you. Be careful. A dark day is coming. A trying day is coming. Man is born to trouble and affliction as the sparks fly outward. Death is on the road. I know you're young and fit and healthy now, but Job was once. All that can go away in a moment. Your breath is in the hand of God, I tell you. Learn from Job here. Here's another warning, too. Job can look back upon a life and say, when I was young, when I was fit, when I was strong, when I was able, I did what I could. I reminded of Spurgeon when he was low and laid aside. He was ill. He couldn't preach. He said, I look back when I could do it, I did it. I look back and it gives me comfort to know that when I could, I did what I could. When I was young, when I was able, I did what I could. Young man, young woman, are you doing anything for Christ? I speak to you as a believer. Are you doing anything for Christ now? Mature person, older person, have you begun yet? A day is coming when you will not be able to. Today is the day when you can do something. What are you doing that you may look back upon and say, when I was young, when I was able, when I had the opportunity, I did it. Because the time might come very soon when you won't be able to. there's a warning. There's an encouragement here. Job is very black in these chapters, but he doesn't know why he's here. He gets it wrong. We make mistakes, brother and sister. And he doesn't know that his greatest days are yet to come. He thinks it's all over. He doesn't know that his works are going to be more useful yet. God is going to shine upon him in a glorious way. He doesn't know the last chapter. Nor do I, nor do you. Let us go on pressing on, because we do not know what God will do. He is powerful. He is able. Job's fortunes would change. He couldn't see the big picture, and he was blinded by what he did see. There's a warning, too. We can waste time grieving over the past, and grieving over what might have been, over the years that the locusts have eaten. Let's go on, pressing on from today, not mortgaging the future by looking back to the past. Job was God's favorite. He didn't know it. Job felt this kind of suffering. Brother and sister, let us go on pressing on for Christ, looking to him. We do not know what way he is taking with us. Let us look for Christ in all our affairs. God was teaching Job lessons here, and God was making Job a lesson to me. I've been trying to speak on these chapters, feebly, I know. But maybe some lesson has come out for me. Maybe some lesson has come out for you, brother and sister. Maybe, unbeliever, you've been challenged. Maybe, let's hope that some poor unbeliever has been brought to Christ, even through these discourses. And Job doesn't know that, does he? Job couldn't possibly have seen this. And yet his sufferings, his afflictions, were recorded. These trials, and God has used them, even in the 21st century, for his glory. Don't let us go down the path of self-pity. Yes, we look back. We look within now, but now let us look on, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us not live in the past. Let us work for the present, looking for the future, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. May we do what we can for Christ today, brother and sister. How we can, where we can. And may we look to God to bless it. An unbeliever learned the lessons of Job. And this day, now, even as I speak to you, use this very moment to put things right with God. And you know how to do that. You bow the knee and submit the heart and will and mind to Jesus Christ. Receive him as Savior and Lord. Trust in his merits, blood and righteousness. And press on, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless these thoughts upon these chapters in the book of Job. Amen.